We're going to be in the book of James. So we did a, started a series last week in the book of James. So you can, it's right after Hebrews, before Revelations. That's everybody's favorite book is the book of Revelations, right? And yeah, that is everybody's favorite. I'm just checking out something here. So we welcome you. If you are watching on YouTube, I see several on there. Jamie, Cammy. Cammy's usually a, she's usually our drummer, but she had surgery this week, and she goes, "I'll be here." But yes, she's recovering. So hi, Cammy. Cheryl, Devin, and Kate. Kate's here, so she's double dipping. So, all right. Praise God. We're going to be in James. We're going to actually be in chapter 1. That's where we left off last week. Verse 18, and so we're going to pick up on verses 19 through 20. So just a quick recap, James is written to the dispersion, the Jews, the Christian Jews that have been scattered outside of Jerusalem to the various parts, okay, in that known world. So modern-day Asia, they called it Asia, so modern-day Turkey, possibly a lot of them were in that area. And they were there for various reasons, maybe a famine had hit. We do know persecution hit the church after the day of Pentecost, right? They were scattered. So for various reasons, they are scattered. And so James is writing to these Christians. So last week, we talked about count it all joy and what we are to do when we face testings of various kinds. So it could be just a financial. It could be a famine. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. It could be temptation. It can come in many different ways or form. And we are to count it joy because it is through these times that we develop perseverance, and perseverance develops character and godly maturity in our lives. And so we dug deep into that, that times of testings are essential for our spiritual growth. You're not going to find an example in Scripture where, you know, somebody just popped out and they were a mature Christian. It didn't happen. They went through a process. And that process involves valleys and it involves mountaintops. And in the valley, those are the little more difficult times, but we spend most of our life in the valley. But then God also gives us those high points in life. And so we go through those processes. You'll see it in the lives of people. God's wisdom is sufficient during times of testing. So we can reach out to Him and say, "God, I don't know what I need to do," and God will help us. And those who persevere will receive a rich reward. So a strong theme in the book of James is works. In other words, we have to be more than just a hearer of the Word of God. We have to be a doer of the Word of God. So Georgia's been reading ahead, and she was even texting me this morning. And so we're going to really zero in on that doing next week because it is Labor Day. I figured Labor Day, doing, kind of goes hand in hand, right? And so in these next few verses, James is going to cover like three different topics. He kind of just hits all of them, and then he goes into greater detail later in the book of James. So we're going to take the first one and then go to chapter 3. All right? And so he jumps around. We're going to jump around a little bit. So before we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer and just invite presence. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is able to shape and mold us, speak to us. We talked about that in youth group on Wednesday night. It is your word. It encourages us. It corrects us. It helps us to become men and women of God and to know you and to walk with you. And so we give you the thanks. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 19 and 20, 26, and then jump to chapter 3. Chapter 3. So verse 19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So that should be underlined in your Bible. "Because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires." And then you go down to verse 26. "Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." And then chapter 3. "Not many of you should become teachers." Isn't that just encouraging? "Why, my fellow believers? Because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly." All right? There's higher standards. There's more expectations there. We all stumble in many ways, and anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. And we can take ships for an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, and it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So, your tongue, okay, right, is not necessarily evil, but it is part of our, what we would maybe call our sinful nature, that it is out of our mouth that we speak, right? And so James is saying that it is our tongue, that we can control everything else, but not our tongue. Verse 7, all the animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed, domesticated, we call it, right? And they've been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father. See, now you're seeing the discrepancy. We can praise our Lord and Father. We were doing that this morning. But with it, we can curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, we can praise and curse. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow out of the same spring? Okay. No, right? Brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. All right, let's pull some things out of there. These aren't necessarily in order, but first, James calls you and I to choose our words wisely, right? He says, be slow to speak. Choose your words wisely. This captures the words of James to speak slowly and slow to become angry. The issue that can be that if we speak too quickly, what happens? You ever said something that you think, oh, I didn't think through that very good, right? Maybe it offended somebody. Maybe it hurt somebody's feelings, or maybe it just made you look kind of foolish, okay, right? That would be the best option, is just like, oh, that didn't make any sense, right? But sometimes when we speak too quickly, because somebody pushes our buttons, right? We react and boom, we fire off a response. And it's a little bit more edgy, a little bit more sharp than what was just said to us. All right? Am I stepping on any toes here? All right? Am I hitting it right? Right? It's within each of us. When somebody jabs us, we're going to jab back and just a little bit harder with our tongue, right? And those out-of-control words, and even anger that goes with it, because a lot of times those are linked, are like a forest fire that is out of control, and it escalates with each word. You know, and I think it's safe to say that we've all been recipients of ill-spoken words to us and over us. I think there's a difference. You know, when it's a peer that's speaking to us, that's one thing, but when you have a leader, a parent, or somebody that we look up to and they speak words over us that are hurtful, harmful, those are even more weight-bearing, I think. Those words injure our heart. They leave scars in our minds and our soul. Sometimes they cause us to retreat and isolate. Sometimes they cause us to recoil and react with our own words and actions to seek revenge and even the score. And so the common statement is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not the case, is it? Words do hurt, and they do shape and mold us. Choosing our words wisely is so vital in our homes, in our earthly relationships, and even within our relationships in the church. And I think James is kind of thinking about their relationships probably on all three levels, how they're interacting with the unsaved world around them, how they're reacting with their brothers and sisters in Christ, and how they're reacting within the home, in the family. Choosing our words carefully and wisely is so important. He's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to Christian people, is he not? And that's you and I. It seems pretty basic to me, but I think this is where the rubber meets the road, that even within these basic levels within the Christian faith, we have to get these basic things down, because if we don't get these fundamentals down, there's division in the church, there's division in our families, we hurt the cause of Christ, our testimony before the world. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like a sword, right? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. I think about a sword, you know, a sword can be used either to injure or harm, but a scalpel can be used to bring healing, can it? And our words are much the same way, that either we can use them in a way that is destructive, harmful, and hurtful, or we can use them in a way that builds up, encourages, and speaks into the lives of others. I think of the political climate that we are currently in, how words can either promote unity or division. Choosing words wisely means to examine how our words will be received by those that we are speaking to. How are my words going to be received? And even examine the tone with how those words are being spoken. You know, somebody may speak into us and we say, yeah, that sounds fine. Or they can be speaking to us and we say, fine! Same word, did they mean the same thing? Our body language and our tone totally is read into what is being communicated. So it's more than just the words we speak, it's the tone and the gestures that comes with it, right? Choosing our words carefully at home, at church, at work, at school. And we have to be slow to speak, because there again, there are times that those reactions are so quick, right? And if we're not careful, we say things that we cannot take back. You can't take your words back. Once they are spoken, they are spoken. You can say, please forgive me and all that, but people still remember it, right? You can't go back and you can't. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Take that moment at times to really think through. Now my wife is in there, so I can pick on her. But this is great marriage counseling material. That, you know, married couples don't fight. Yes, they do. They do. And you the best way when you are talking through stuff is to really choose your words carefully, right? And then to ask questions. Say, okay, is this what you said, right? And repeat back, and sometimes it is right, and half the time it isn't right. And so then you get to, and then after you figure out what the main thing is, what being communicated, then you can have the decision, now I'm angry, or, oh, okay, that's what you meant, right? Which is usually what the case is. All right? Choose your words carefully, because you need that time to process what is being said and make sure it is accurate. Because often we react to what we think we heard and not actually what is being said. All right, that's getting into my next point, so it leads into that. Number two is to listen intently to the people in your life. Listen intently. James says to be quick, not slow to speak, but quick to listen. That's what he leads with, right? Be quick to listen. Quick means, in the Greek, means to listen with little or no delay. Listen means to hear with intention. So we can hear a lot of different things, but listening has that other dynamic to it, that we are wanting to understand what we're hearing, okay? And it is that intent. And that intent often involves eye contact, right? It means that I'm looking at the person, and so not only am I hearing what they are saying, but I'm also catching their gestures, their facial expressions, right? Because all that is part of their communication. And they have my full attention, all right? And I was preparing this message, and it was kind of like, oh, man. How often we transgress in this area. Our spouse comes in the door, and they start talking, and they say, okay, did you hear what I said? It's kind of like, I caught that. Why don't you repeat it again for me one more time, right? Because we're involved in something else, and it means that we have to stop what we are doing and listen intently, right? We are not good multitaskers, so I'm going to try to stick into my notes here. So too often when people are speaking to us, we are thinking about what we have to do next. Maybe we are daydreaming. Maybe we're watching the football game or we're watching gymnastics, right? We are not giving people our undivided attention, right? Our spouse, our kids, friends, employees, our leadership. There's a great book by Jim Lohr called The Power of Story. It talks about rewriting your own story. But he refers to, and I've shared this at least once before, a story about Mr. Rogers, who's now with the Lord, and a conversation he had with Jeff Erlanger. And Jeff, when at this time, yep, you can see how old he is. He's you know, elementary age, but he had a tumor, I believe, back here from birth. I think from 6 months on is when they noticed it. But anyway, it caused paralysis in his arms, his legs. And so he could move some things, but there was a restriction there. So after this episode, he was going to go in for a pretty significant surgery that was going to help repair some of that. But you can see Mr. Rogers, where are his eyes? They're glued in there, right? And you can Google that and find that on YouTube. You can see his interaction there. And it was a very powerful, it's noted as one of Mr. Rogers' most powerful episodes just because of the dialogue and the interaction that took place between those two. They'd never really met before prior to this, but from this episode on, they would have a lifelong relationship, and it would change the direction of Jeff's life and how he looked at life, even how he felt about himself. It was a very pivotal moment. How was that possible? It was because Mr. Rogers gave Jeff his full attention. He listened, he interacted with him, and he spoke life into this young man's life. Just one conversation. You know, I think there's so many of our conversations that have that potential in our life, but we're not taking advantage of them because we're always thinking ahead. We're always thinking about the next thing. Or maybe what? Oh, they're saying that. I got something better, so I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to top them, right? I know none of you would ever do that. But you're thinking about that, right? Instead of just really listening to what people are saying. He also shares another story about a CEO, and he was a good CEO, you know, very successful in the world's terms. But then he got diagnosed with cancer, had 6 months to live, and it totally changed his conversations and his interactions. He gave people their full attention. And he says those are the most meaningful years of his life because those conversations, he wasn't always looking ahead. He was living in the moment in that conversation and that dialogue with those people. And, you know, multitasking is many times held up as a virtue, as a good quality. And maybe in the business world there is some validity to that. There's some jobs that require that, right? You'd be able to multitask, ask Chris up there, right? There's a lot of different parts that are moving all at the same time. But when it comes to listening to people, if you're not all in, if you're not giving them your full attention, if your mind is someplace else, you are not fully engaging with them. And I think James, I don't know if he had coaching classes or not, he has some very good wisdom here, though, that I believe was from God, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, right? It's then that we can have some of the greatest conversations that give life to people, that can bring out the best in people, that can promote healthy relationships at home, at school, at work, in the church, wherever. Lastly, I'm going to maybe cut it just a little bit shorter this week. I gave you a little bonus material last week, so thanks for being patient with me. Number three is, in your anger, don't sin. So those aren't James's words. Those are actually Paul's words. All right, that we'll reference here in a little bit. But anger, it captures what James is saying, but anger If you look at that, we could maybe translate that a different ways, but the Greek is talking about wrath, retribution, revenge. So it's a strong emotion. The type of anger he's talking about here is very powerful, right? It's intense anger that does not easily subside, often on epic scale. And I know none of you have become angry. And I want to be clear, anger is a gift from God. It is an emotion that God has given us. There are times that we should be angry, okay? There's appropriate times. Too often, though, we become angry when we haven't received all the facts or understand what somebody is being said. And we react to what we think we heard or we have seen. And we become angry. You know, maybe we turn on the news and we watch some of that and we're angry at a group of people because of the labels. We're angry at them. You know what? I bet 99% of the time you probably have never even talked to that person. You don't know them. You don't know who they are, they're what they like, what they enjoy. You don't really know anything about them. And we're angry. Are you following me? Some of us, we would say that we have a short fuse, right? We use that terminology. We can get livid with anger in a second. And it is often this type of anger that causes harmful words that we cannot take back, or even to do actions that could harm somebody or break things, right? Because we haven't been quick to listen, we get mad at somebody over a misunderstanding. This happens between spouses, at home, at school, friends, relationships, at church. So first, we must discern if our anger is justified. And I bet probably 80% of the time, it probably is not. Sometimes it maybe is. But anger is an emotion that God has given us. If we see somebody being harmed, we should be angry and we should take action, right? If we see evil being done, we should do something and take action. But even in our anger, Paul calls us to what? To not sin. Ephesians 4, 25 and 27 says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. We are all members of one body, and in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So there's a few things that are involved with that. But self-control is so important. That is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, it's the last one there, right? Out of the nine. That self-control, that even in our anger, we still do not lose control of our passions and control of ourself. Because in the heat of our passion, in that anger, we can do things that we cannot undo, whether the words are spoken or even a crime of passion, right? There's a lot of people that are in our prison system because of crimes of passion. And once they are clear-headed and their emotions are back in check, they probably would never have done what they did. But in the heat of the moment, in the anger, they react and they do things they can't take back. Paul calls us in our anger to do not sin. And even to not let the sun go down on our wrath. That means that if you can go to bed and get that anger out of the way, you're going to sleep better and it's going to be resolved. That's really good advice for husbands and wives. It just is, okay? Anger that is not dealt with constructively, that's a good word, constructively, will cause a lot of damage to others and ourselves. And unresolved anger leads to what? Begins with a U. Okay. Unforgiveness. Yes, we're going to do a Wheel of Fortune here for a second, right? Unforgiveness, right? Jesus has a lot to say about unforgiveness. He says, you know what? If you can't forgive your brother and sister in Christ, God can't forgive you. End of story. Isn't that harsh? God forgave us of all of our sin, all of our junk, and he expects us to forgive others. If we do not forgive, it leads to resentment, bitterness, and revenge. All these hurt us. They hurt us, not necessarily the person we haven't forgiven. So sometimes at the end of the nightly news, they tell us all the bad, 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 and then in the last 5 minutes, they tell us something good, right? And one day they did a story, and it was about a lady lived in one of our cities, either New York, I think, or Chicago, but her son was murdered. Probably a gang-related type of thing, but he was murdered by this other young man. And she was a Christian lady. She talked about her faith. And she was angry, right? Does she have a right to be angry? Absolutely. Absolutely. She loved her son. But she knew that unforgiveness would be bad for her, and so she started taking steps towards forgiveness and forgiving him. Even going to the prison and visiting this young man that took the life of her son and reaching out to him and building a relationship with him. And the day that he was released from prison, she worked to get a place lined up where he could stay. And guess where it was located? She lived in a duplex. And it was part of her duplex, the apartment right next to hers. And he kind of now takes care of her. That is the power of forgiveness. Was it right what this young man did? Absolutely not. And if he probably could go back and undo, he probably would have. But you can't, right? What's done is done. But the lady made a choice. She said, I can be bitter all my life, or I can choose to forgive and deal with my anger in a way that is constructive for me. And in the process of that, she also was able to speak life into this young man's life and show him Christ. Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come. In a message like this, there are things that I know we wish we could do differently. I don't think there's probably anybody here that hasn't said a wrong word in your anger, that probably has not listened intently. You know, as a pastor, I struggle before and after services talking to people, right? People want to talk to me, right? Ooh, I'm getting a little bit there. All right. Kevin, you probably need to pull me down just a little bit because I feel... But before and after the service, I'm thinking about the service still. So I really have to be intent, right? That's my, where I just have to really listen to what God is saying to them and through them. You have your own thing. And God knows that you don't need to confess it to me, but you do need to confess it to God and say, God, this is where I am. This is where I need to be. God's word is like a mirror. Okay, how many looked in the mirror this morning? All right, now, okay, I did, you know, we look in the mirror, right? We make sure the hair looks good, right? It's in place, make sure I caught all the places I needed to shave, right, to trim. We look in the mirror, my clothes match, they're wrinkled. We need that reflection. God's word helps us to see who we are. There's times like, wow, I'm doing this right, but boy, I do need to be quicker to listen to people. Or I need to have better control of my anger. The word of God is to be that mirror in our life that shows us who God is and what we're supposed to be like, what we should look like. And so, how are you looking this morning as you look into God's word? Are you quick to listen? Are you slow to speak? Are you slow to become angry? How are you looking in light of God's word this morning? Are you rocking it? Or are there some things that need to change? And so in this closing song, I pray that you can say, God, what are things I need to grow in today? There again, these... what James is teaching us is not like the stuff way up here that we learn way, way down the road. It should be one of those things that we learn as a beginning Christian. It should be one of those fundamentals that we master and we get a hold of, because if you want to be a leader, if you want to have influence, if you want to be used by God, we have to get these fundamentals down. Amen? Amen. When our actions, words, and attitudes align with God's word, I believe is powerful. The church is unified. Our families are unified. But when those words don't allow, our actions, words, and attitudes don't align with God's word, I think it brings confusion to the world around us, because they say, man, they say they're a Christian, but boy, did you just see that, how they reacted in anger? Did you just hear those words that they said or they posted on Facebook? It doesn't align with our Christian profession and witness. Did you just see their attitude? Yeah, the world's watching. And when they don't see that alignment between what we say we are and what we do, that causes issues. Amen. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Amen. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation and then just a prayer over each of us. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, whether you're listening online or here, God has a hope and a plan for each of our lives. And He wants to come into our life. He wants to forgive us of our sins. He wants to give us the hope of heaven. And He will not force His way in. That is our choice. But He sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could have that hope and that salvation. So would you join me in a prayer this morning, a prayer of salvation, saying, Dear God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me to walk in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, as we do this closing song, would you speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit? You know the places that we need to grow and where we need to change. And we cannot do it without your help, without your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord God, give us just that open heart to receive the words you speak to us and allow us to change and become like you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Christy, bye. Can you join me up front if you need prayer this morning as well? Let's worship the Lord together and just allow God to speak to us today. Amen. How many of you like to, if you do something, you like to see results fast? You like to see results fast? Now, if you go to the weight room, it usually takes weeks before you see those results. First, it's a sore stage. It's kind of like, why am I doing this? And gradually, you begin to see the results. I think this is one area, if you allow God to come in and just transform you in those three things, you're going to see some of the quickest results possible. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change the relationship with your kids. It's going to change the relationships with your friends, at work, at school. Trust me, it'll be... Because when people feel like you're listening and that the words you speak give life, it's going to change things, not just over time, yes, but I bet you're going to see results very fast. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that guides and directs us. And sometimes it's honest. And Lord God, help us to grow in you and to resemble who you've called us to be. Lord, none of us are there yet, but Lord God, help us to become more like you, to resemble what we see in your word. Go with us this week. Go with us in our relationships. Go with us as we share Christ with our world. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless this morning. Greet each other as you leave.